Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it's Lee Salisbury here. Welcome to a brand new episode of the behind-the-scenes television podcast, Soap from the Box, where I speak to the biggest stars of Coronation Street, Hollyoaks, Emmerdale, EastEnders, Home and Away, Neighbours, plus some television specials and some music specials in spin-off show Pop from the Box. I spoke to my next guest a couple of days ago. Yesterday, it was announced in the news she is returning to Coronation Street as Bethany Platt. I could hear from her voice that she was going to go back. We didn't get to talk about it, but we talk about so much more. Enjoy. My guest today shot to superstardom, playing Bethany Platt on Coronation Street for 5 years, from 2015 to 2020. So amazing was she. She won 2 British Soap Awards, an Inside Soap Award, and a National Television Award. It's no wonder that the dream started at just 2 years old when she studied singing, dancing, and drama. In January, she became a mum to her own little one, so life has changed dramatically. It's a pleasure to welcome Lucy Fallon. Hi, Lucy.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me. What an introduction. I feel quite embarrassed.
Well, I mean, it's all you. And first of all, quickly, 2 years old. I mean, that's an early age to start. That was at the Barbara Jackson Theatre Arts Centre, I think I'm right.
Yes, that is right. I kind of went there because my sisters went there, and they're like 10, 13 years older than me. So, I went there from being about 2, but until actually about 18. I spent a lot of my childhood at Barbara Jackson's, and some of my best memories were there as well, being at dancing.
And obviously lots of people do singing, dancing and drama. I mean, was it drama? Were you kind of steered in one direction, or did you, because I know since you've done the singing, were you steered in one direction? Was there one you liked better?
No, so kind of it was mainly dancing that I did for a very long time, and we used to do these big shows called Twinkle Toes every year at the Winter Gardens, and then I think from about 9, Barbara Jackson's got this sort of drama teacher to come, and she was doing private drama lessons. So I started going to her and started doing like festivals and Lambda exams and stuff like that. But it was never acting that I fully wanted to do. If anything, I wanted to do more musical theatre. And that's, you know, like even still when I go and watch a musical, I'm like, oh, I absolutely would love to be in a musical. I never ever set out or had it in my head that I was going to just do like solely acting or just become. I never had it in my head that I was going to do TV. That was never something that I like envisioned.
I don't think
myself. Anyone
does actually. I think even me, when I started directing in TV, because it's something that you think is totally unachievable, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. When you're younger. Yeah. I mean, like even the way that it happened, obviously, like I did the auditions and stuff, and I never for one second thought like, right, I'm going to get this part. Like it was never. And I think as well, like growing up, I think outwardly I was quite confident, but I was so like nervous and very like self-critical as I was growing up, and I still can be like that now. But so I don't think it's ever been something that I thought was achievable for me, and now not being in Corrie and obviously auditioning and stuff, I still have that kind of doubt now, like, oh, I don't think like I can do this kind of thing. So
well that is just literally the acting world.
Absolutely.
Every act has that for life.
Yeah.
But before we talk all things Corrie, we are in August. It is summertime.
Yeah.
So we're going to speak all things holidays.
Nice.
Now Ho Seasons have done this amazing research and found out that half of us have returned to a UK holiday destination which we visited as a child.
Mm-hmm.
I've literally done this all the time with every destination I've been to, and 43% of us want to create our own memories for new generations. Obviously you've got a new generation in your family.
Yeah.
But I mean, UK holidays are just they're like, I don't know, they're much more nostalgic, I think, than going away, aren't they?
Yeah, I think as well, like the research shows, most of us feel so nostalgic about going on a UK holiday because at one point in our life, we've been on a UK holiday. We've been to the caravan parks, we've been to, you know, like the campsites and all things like that. And I think we feel so nostalgic about the certain aspects of doing things like that, like going to get the fish and chips, going to the amusement arcades, like going on donkey rides and stuff. I'm from Blackpool as well, obviously, and so I have those kind of memories, and I think as I've got...
Did you use the holiday in Blackpool? Because if you're from Blackpool...
Yeah, no, we didn't. We didn't like holiday there, but we just obviously, we used to
go
there.
To the beach. And,
we'd go there a lot. And I think as well, like, because my mum and dad didn't have a lot of money or anything when we were growing up. So we used to just go to Blackpool quite a lot. It was on our doorstep. We'd go to the beach, like, in the rain and everything, so we'd go there all the time.
Typical UK.
We just so because obviously it was free for us to do that, and it was down the road. But I remember we used to go to a caravan in Kirby Lonsdale, which is in Cumbria, and we used to go there like with my grandparents quite a lot, pretty much most years until my grandparents sadly died and we kind of stopped going there. But I have like such fond memories of being there, and they're the sort of memories that I, you know, like I think about the most. I don't really remember. I know we did go on a couple of holidays abroad when I got older, because my sisters then didn't come with us. So my mum and dad just had to pay for the three of us to go. So we went on a couple then, and I genuinely don't really remember them. But I know,
I'm the same as you.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I used to go to caravan parks with my grandparents. Did you always used to meet? I used to love not knowing who I was going to meet, and used to always meet like a little gang of kids
and your
friends for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because my sisters are like 10 and 13 years older than me. So there was a point where they would come, but they were way too cool to like hang out with me. So I would make friends at the campsites and the caravan park. And they're the things that I remember the most. And that's what I kind of want to recreate with Sunny, because me and Ryan, my boyfriend, we were both speaking about this, and he's the same. He remembers the camping holidays and stuff like that,
campsites,
rather than the ones where you go abroad. I don't remember
it's
them.
Mad,
I don't
isn't
know
it? Because they were so fun. I mean, the difference is as well, obviously, I remember it used to be like fruit machines, arcades. I mean, now, and I haven't been back for a camp, I must go to a park because my friends just bought a caravan. But now it's like spa treatments, hot tubs. I mean, people don't know they're born now, do they,
no,
basically?
Absolutely. And, you know, like, Ho Seasons have, like, such a range of different places that you can go, different accommodation types. They have, like, you can stay on a boat. You can stay in a treehouse. Like, you don't have to stay
caravan.
I know, exactly. And I think, like, there's something for everyone. There's so many different activities that you can do. And especially for me, I want to go somewhere where I can go to a spa or get in a hot tub. Get in a hot tub with like a glass of Prosecco or something. That would be nice.
Amazing.
And that's what you can
do.
Why
Ryan takes the little ones to play all day.
Yeah, they can just like play football or something outside. I'll just stay in a hot tub. That's fine by me.
And what's it like being a mum? What was it like your first holiday? Is it amazing watching your kid kind of just have so much fun? I mean, I know he's, well, it's only very young at the moment.
Yeah, so we went on our first kind of holiday. We went to Wales and we actually stayed at a holiday park that was like a lodge and it had a hot tub. And it was really, really nice. We just kind of like went on walks. We explored, like there was a tiny little village, not very much much there, just like a pub and a post office. And
perfect.
We went in the pub and we were with like Ryan's sister and his cousin and their partners. And we went to the pub. They were like drinking. I was still breastfeeding, so I could not. But yes, and it was just a really, it was one of those like little breaks that we'll just remember forever as being like his first little holiday, like with the family. And it was so nice as well for them to spend that like proper quality time with him. So yeah, I feel like we'll, when we like get older and we look back, that'll be again one of those like nostalgic
when he's
holidays.
When he's running around causing havoc, oh, we'll yeah. look back to this one going, yeah. oh, I remember yeah. when he couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
And you haven't ventured onto a plane, because that must be the worst memory, thinking of the first plane. Have you done a plane
ride
yet?
We have actually, yeah. We did, whilst Ryan has been off, we have been abroad, but honestly, it is so stressful. It's so stressful.
I can't imagine. Oh, no,
just like, because I think going to an airport anyway is stressful, but going to an airport with a baby when you have to like, you have to think about the pram and like all the milk and like all that stuff, and that is really stressful. I would much
and probably
rather go
as well
UK.
You become the person that no one wants to sit next to as well.
Yeah, like you get that, like, I know it's so bad, but you get this like anxiety when you get on the plane, because you just think, if this child screams this whole way, I know everybody's going to hate us. I know they are, because no, I would be like that. I'd be thinking, that kid won't stop screaming. But like, oh, it is. He was really good though, but you do get anxiety about that. That's why.
God, he was good.
Stay in the
UK. Yeah, UK is great.
Stay in
and,
the UK.
And Host Seasons, this brilliant research says 33% of us have an embarrassing story to tell. So have you got an embarrassing? I've been trying to wrap my brains.
I feel like I don't have like embarrassing stories, but I have like particular stories that I do remember, like that have really stuck out to me. I remember we went to Skipton Castle, which was near sort of where the caravan that we used to go to was. And I remember I was probably like not, I was acting up, I was quite feral. And I put my foot through one of the like crossbow section things of the castle. I don't know what they're called. And I got my foot completely stuck. In there,
oh
they
God.
Had to like get people to come and help, because I couldn't get my foot out. I don't know how I got it in there in the first place, but they had to like take my shoe off and somehow like drop it. I can't really remember properly, but yeah, I do remember that. And I remember it being like a whole palaver and all these people were watching us because my foot was stuck and I was screaming. So yeah, that's probably one.
That's probably about it. But yeah, I can't really remember one. I do remember getting my lace caught in the top of an escalator and falling over. I fell so badly that they couldn't like just take the shoe off, so the whole escalator and the whole shopping centre in Clacton where we used to go to the caravan park came to a stop. But anyway, we're going to talk more holiday memories in a bit, but let's get to Corrie.
Yes.
Because you landed the role, and I remember this, I'm sure everyone remembers it, in a very strange way. You've gone for an audition,
yeah.
Someone else got the part, then it got revealed they lied about their age.
Yeah.
Why on earth you would do that when it's a national television programme?
Oh,
you're going to be found out, people. So then what happened? Did you just get a call going, well, sorry that you didn't get it, but now you've got it?
Yeah, well, it was really weird because, I mean, I was only like I was 18 at the time when I was auditioning, so I kind of was forced to do the first audition. I hadn't, I kept saying I didn't want to do it, and then the dance school that I went to, the principal of that was like, no, go, you need to go, like, you have to go. So I have everything to thank careful. But anyway, so I went, and it was just like a read through that they filmed with the casting director. That was it. And then I ended up getting the call back, and we went, and it was like a workshop with all of the other people that were auditioning for Bethany. And then it was a screen test. And you know, as you get like further down, I was like, people were like, oh, my sister Rachel was convinced. She was like, you've got it, I know you've got it. And I was like, don't say that to me. And anyway, then I got the call that I didn't get it. And it was really interesting, actually, because the agency that I was with at the time, well, I hadn't signed with them yet, but they were obviously willing to sign me once I had got, if I'd got the part. But then when I didn't get the part, they were like, oh, you'll have to like audition to basically be in our agency. And then they then got the call that I had got the part, because the other girl had obviously lied about her age, so they'd taken it off her. And then so then I signed with this agency, and I ended up going on it. But yeah, my sister really held on to the fact that she was convinced, even when I've been told
it was yours.
Yeah, when I've been told, because it all sort of started circulating on Twitter, I think I think maybe her Twitter handle had like 87 in it, so then people were like, oh, is that like her date of birth? I don't know how it happened. Anyway, I think she was obviously just advised poorly by the agent that she was with at the time. But then, so it all started circulating online, and my sister was like, you're going to get it. You've definitely got it. And I was like, what? No, that like that's when does that ever happen? Like that never ever happens. And yeah, I got a call and I got the part. And it was like, I think even though it's the weirdest way, I feel like, and this is so cringe and cliche, but I feel like that just shows the sort of like everything does happen for a reason. And
oh,
and,
totally. And like, everything in life happens for a reason, yeah.
Yeah, and then, and you know, it was meant to be.
What's meant to be, what's meant to be.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And what was it like getting that first big rejection? Because like you said, and for people listening who don't know, you normally go to an audition, then if it's a big part, you go to another one, then you screen test with real actors, real, you know, characters from the show,
yeah,
with cameras on set, which yeah. I've done directed some of those, and they're so nerve-wracking.
Oh,
see
they're
people.
Horrible, yeah.
And you can tell that by then people are so invested because they've come so, you know, this yeah. is probably a couple of months down the line. So was it a really big punch to the stomach when that first no came?
Yeah, I think I do remember because obviously I'd never ever done anything like that before. I'd recently, like just before this, I'd auditioned to go to London to do like musical theatre, to go to like Arts Ed or Mount View and stuff, and I'd only been offered foundation courses, which at the time, and I know they definitely will be now, were so expensive, and my mum and dad like couldn't afford my, they were talking about like remortgaging the house and stuff to be able to send me to do this foundation course. So I ended up being like, no, if it's not meant to be, that's not what is going to happen. And then obviously I started auditioning for, so I'd had that kind of rejection of thinking like, oh, I don't know, this is all I've ever known, I don't know what I'm gonna do if I don't do this sort of career. And then obviously when I auditioned for that and then I got the no, I remember being, I was like fully gutted, like really, really gutted, because it felt like it had kind of gone back and I was a bit like, oh, I'm back to square one again. Like, what am I now going to do? Like, I don't have any sort of plan,
yeah.
Or any kind of other career options. Like, I wasn't like really clever or had like any other option for me, basically, because that was all I'd done growing up. And yeah, so I remember we actually my mum and dad took me to McDonald's. I was like 18,
I mean, yeah.
Sat in
yeah,
McDonald's, yeah. Like, oh, and we were just talking about it and talking about the stuff that I could maybe do instead and having to like try and decide that. And then so when I got told that I did have the part, it was like, oh, okay, wow, this is unbelievable.
I wish I hadn't have had that McDonald's.
Yeah.
Got to be off screen.
Yeah, it's going to make £10 on my face.
And then what was it like joining? Because you obviously joined as well, and you joined the Platt family, which is obviously one of the most renowned soap families. I mean, when I first worked with Helen Worth, who played Gail, I kind of didn't know what to say.
And
Lee Nichols, who plays Audrey, who's also a legend. I mean, was it nerve-wracking walking into a family like that?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I remember my first day. So you kind of have a day where they sort of show you around. And I remember Caroline, who's like the cast liaison, she took me around and I had like a whole tour. I met with the producer and stuff like that. I got shown to my dressing room and I wasn't actually working this day, but it was just to get like a feel of the place. And then I remember Caroline like took me to the canteen and was like, oh, you can get some lunch, like just go and like sit down. And she just left me and I was like, oh my god, what the hell am I supposed to do? So I went and I got a soup in like a little cup because I didn't know what else to get. I was too scared to get like anything major, like a meal or anything, so I just got a little soup and I went and sat down. And then Helen Worth came and sat next to me and was like, hello. We were like having a chat and I was texting my mum separately being like, oh my god, I'm sat next to Gail Platt having a soup, this is so embarrassing. I remember as well when I first started, obviously everyone is so lovely and they're so welcoming. My first scenes were with Samia, who plays Maria, and Sue, who plays Audrey, and it was in the salon. And yeah, obviously the two loveliest,
so surreal.
Yeah, two loveliest people that you could be put with, but yeah, so scary. And I remember for like the first 6 months, I basically didn't come out of my dressing room because I was just so like, I was only 19 and I was so nervous and I didn't want to like go in the green room and go and sit and like talk to anyone, and I was so scared. And Tisha, who was there at the time, she used to take me and be like, come and sit in the green room. So I'd only ever go if Tisha was in and she would take me into the green room. And then obviously eventually I was absolutely fine.
I know, because it's weird, isn't it, on soap? There's like those different, it's like you've got your dressing room areas, then you've got like the canteen where everyone hangs out, you've got set, which is obviously professional and people come and do line runs, and then the green room, which is kind of just like a common room at school. Do you know what I mean? It's like everyone talking, gossip, and it's, you've got all these different weird pockets that you have to adjust to.
Yeah, yeah.
And then obviously I used to then go to the office as well, which is very quiet and very
I used to like going to makeup actually, because I felt quite safe in there. Not that I wasn't safe anywhere else, but when I first started, I felt like, right, I can really like talk to these and the makeup girls make you feel like very like calm and chilled. It's just crazy. And then, but then eventually I really like sort of found my feet, and I think it was quite good that I had that sort of period where I was really nervous. I didn't just come in and be like this big character.
Yeah, here I am.
Yeah, like everybody's like, who are you? So yeah, I think it kind of made my relationships quite organic and.
And it is like a family, and the Platts are, I mean, just Jack and everyone, they're so brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then obviously you, what I loved, I read that she, obviously Bethany was a wild child who did a lot of the things she did to get a reaction. But I like the fact that she was, or you were described by one critic when you joined, as a reincarnation of Joan Rivers, only with a Mancunian accent. I mean, that's like praise indeed.
I know. I do actually remember that. I remember it. I think somebody somebody, I don't know whether they printed it or it was in like a paper or something, and they cut it out and gave it to my nana, and my nana kept it in a bag that she carried around with her. And obviously whenever she had conversation, she'd just pull out this.
Oh, wow, amazing. Joan Rivers. Did you ever watch Joan Rivers?
No, actually, but great compliment though.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And then obviously so many storylines you're involved in, the biggest one being the grooming and sexual exploitation storyline. I mean, when that happens, I mean, soaps obviously, as we know, amazing at dealing with issue-related things.
Yeah.
How did that kind of come about? Did they kind of get you up and kind of say, right, this is what we're planning?
Yeah, so the producer at the time was Kate Oates, and she it sort of started with, I don't think they knew how the story was going to play out, but it started with Bethany being bullied, so she had like a bit of a confidence issue, and then she started taking diet pills, and that's kind of how it began. So it was kind of the whole premise of it was like people were sort of chipping away at sort of Bethany's confidence and the way that she was, and then it made it easier to bring in Nathan, who was the character that ended up grooming Bethany, to sort of make Bethany feel like she was amazing. And because she was obviously quite vulnerable at the time. So, yeah, I remember Kate told me about it and sort of said how she thought the story was going to play out. But as you know, obviously, things change and a lot. And then when they fully decided that, right, we're going to really go in with this sort of grooming storyline, they brought me up again and really talked about how the story was going to play out, and that Bethany was always going to get justice, and they wanted that for survivors of sort of sexual exploitation and grooming. They wanted there to be an outcome. And I remember we met with like the NSPCC and different charities, and we actually met with a girl who had experienced something extremely similar, and she did quite a lot of work now, like talking like with the NSPCC to make people aware of like the dangers of this sort of thing. And I remember Kate Oates actually specifically asked her if, because quite a lot of the time people don't get found guilty because it's very hard to prove it. Kate Oates asked her if she wanted us to play it as real life and make it so that he doesn't get justice, and or whether she wanted them to him to be found out and to go to prison, and she wanted there to be justice, because then obviously for people that are watching, if they were going through something similar, there's a good outcome at the end of it, and it's more likely to get them to speak out. So all the time we were in conversation, I was obviously in conversation with the producer and all of the different charities that we worked with.
And did you get, what was the reaction like? Because they cause huge reactions, don't they, from the audience?
Yeah.
I mean, did a lot of girls suddenly start getting in contact with you?
Yeah, they did. And it was quite a lot of, like, I didn't really expect it. I knew that obviously some people would be able to relate, but I didn't really realise how many people, not even just the grooming storyline, but just sort of like, you know, she was raped and all that kind of... And I think that they also... a lot of people contacted me to say that they related to, and it was quite, it's obviously quite shocking. And people will come up to me in the street and as well and say that, you know, that they had experienced something similar. So yeah.
It's when you kind of realise, isn't it? Because when I've done issue-based stories, it's when you realise that the job actually you do in soap is really important, and yeah. the effect it has, because you kind of, it's that thing, there's not many jobs like that, that you get that instant connection to people yeah. and you realise that what you're doing is so important as yeah. well, how you're playing stuff. Did you feel that weight of, like, it's a bit of a burden, I suppose, as well as being amazing.
Yeah, yeah, I suppose the main thing was, like, we wanted to get the story right, and I didn't want people to watch it and think, like, I don't know, like, I didn't do
it, like,
yeah,
what it's
or
like
I didn't
yeah.
do it justice, or I was a bit rubbish or whatever. So I really, it was really important, like, for me and for also for the other characters that were involved in the story to get it right and to do it justice and to get it as right as possible. So yeah, it was quite a big. It was a big thing, and it was a lot of pressure. And at the time as well, I was only like 21, maybe 21, 22, when we were 21, yeah, when we were filming that. So, like, looking back now, it's a bit like I'm nearly 28, but it feels like I look at 21-year-olds and think that they're really young. Like, I think you are obviously yeah. really young when you're 21. So, yeah, I feel like I didn't give myself enough credit for the fact that I was so young and I was able to, like, just do that.
And
yeah.
obviously you won Best Actress at the Inside Soap Awards, two awards at the Soap Awards, and the NTA, which is a really hard one to win.
Yeah.
That must have been kind of like, wow, what's happening? I mean, it must have been amazing.
Yes.
And also, what's it like being a cast member in something and then suddenly you win everything? Do you feel a little bit like, oh, God, it's
yeah,
just me winning?
Yeah, it was a little bit, especially at the Soap Awards, because I won a couple, so I felt like a bit ridiculous. I don't know. I just felt embarrassed. I was like, oh God, I'm getting up again. Like I was like really big headed, like, oh yes, give me all my awards.
Because Michelle Keegan used to always say that when she won everything, she used to be like, oh, for God's sake, yeah, I feel so just, embarrassed.
Yeah. I also, I get quite like, a little bit like, oh God, about things anyway. So yeah, I do remember feeling like that, but obviously amazing. And
I'm
happy that like I did win.
Obviously totally well deserved. It was that there was only one winner. And I mean, would you, why then? I mean, obviously you were riding so high. The character was probably one of the biggest characters in the show, and then you decided to leave.
Yes.
What was which is, you know, often the way to do it, to be honest.
Well,
before you end up just ordering an orange juice in the pub for like 7 weeks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, obviously I'd been advised, obviously, like, from my agent that I was with at the time, and also just kind of where I was, like, in my life. I felt like I'd been there for 5 years, and obviously I'd done a lot of amazing storylines, and then I kind of knew that it would probably sort of tail off a little bit, and if I stayed I would have like a couple of years or a year or so where I maybe wasn't doing very much, and I think that just kind of happened. You can't just get storyline after storyline.
Otherwise the rest of the cast would hate you.
Yeah, and I do not want that. So I made the decision to leave basically based on the fact that I just wanted to have like new opportunities and see what was out there. But the problem for me that I had was that I left in January 2020, and we went into a global lockdown in March 2020.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So it was possibly the worst timing. But then I was actually speaking to somebody yesterday, like, about this, and we were saying that it was bad timing. Like, if you look at it on paper, you'd be like, oh, my God.
Yeah, because you could have been paid for a couple of years.
Yeah, that was just the worst possible timing ever. And but then again, I've had lots of life changes in the 3 years. So I feel like, even though I
have... And like we said earlier, everything happens for a reason.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And, I have done things. I've done different shows. I did... Tom Jones a couple of years ago that came out.
Yes,
recently.
And you did an audio horror series, which must be really interesting as well.
Yeah, so I have done other things. I did Don't Rock the Boat as well, which was like a reality thing, which was awful but really good.
You did also musicals where you got to do your dream. You sang a musical song, Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, that little song.
Yeah. So I have done stuff, but the main things I feel like if I hadn't have left, I would have maybe been stuck in situations that I didn't particularly want to be in, and like now I just feel like very like peaceful and happy. I've got a baby and a nice boyfriend and a nice little life, so who knows.
And would you ever consider going back? Obviously the door's open, isn't it?
Yeah, I would. Obviously, like, you never say never to that, but we'll just have to wait and see, you know? Who knows?
Have to wait and see. Right, well, let's end with going back to holidays. Home scenes are done because we're in holiday season.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to not lie to the audience. We're recording this just before August and the weather's been absolutely terrible. So I'm looking out the window as I speak to you, mustering the energy to pretend it's sunny, but it will be.
It will.
I'm guaranteeing when you're listening to this out there, it'll be so hot that you will be in your boxer shorts or your bikini. I love these statistics of the best holiday memories. So we've got At the Boss has started like a chart. At the Boss, Donkey Rides, 12%. I remember going on Donkey Rides on Blackpool Beach. And now I'm kind of a bit like, oh, they're probably these donkeys don't want us on their back all day.
Yeah, I know. Poor little donkeys. But
I know. I suppose if you're a little kid, it's fine.
Yeah,
I think,
I mean, probably. I couldn't go on a donkey right now at the age of 27. That would be weird. But Sonny can go on a donkey. And
Do they still have donkeys on Blackpool Beach?
Do you know what? I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like, surely they have everything else, because they have the horse and carriages all lined up. So they're
you know what,
the
world is so red tape now that you probably have to like sign like forms and NDAs and stuff before you even get on one.
Because
otherwise, or do an intimacy coordinator before you get on the donkey. Sending postcards, 17%. I mean, that I miss, because actually, do we still send? But I'm trying to think if I still send a postcard.
I don't. But I do remember. I remember like you used to go and like when we used to go to this caravan, like the shops, and they'd have those like things that spin, and there was all different.
Yeah, they're
types
amazing.
Of postcards
yeah.
with all different pictures of Kirby.
And
Lonsdale.
Some of them have been there for like 30 years. Yeah, because they're all crusted.
Yeah,
and then whoever you send it to gets it like the day before you get back.
Yeah. Like, miss you so much, and now I'm home.
Then we've got building sandcastles, 24%. I don't think I was ever a building sandcastles boy, actually. I used to like burying people in the sand.
We used to do the same thing. We used to dig like really, really big holes in the sand. See, basically, I think I remember doing this with like my cousin, but like digging a hole like in the sand as big as you can and trying to see whether we could dig to like the middle of the earth. I remember us being like, oh, I wonder if we like dig
and
so
giving
much.
And giving up in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, we dig so much, we might get to like Japan or something really weird.
Thank God. Or you might actually find like something you never want to find.
Yeah.
Might have been the actual truth. Then amusement arcades, 28%. Yeah. I still love amusement arcades.
I love an amusement arcade.
Do you know the game that you put, I think it's like 10p a go and there's lots of horses and you have to bet them on the horse and then they race along.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The best thing in the world.
We went recently because it was my sister's birthday. We got like a little beach hut chalet thing, and we went to the arcades in St. Anne's, and we just were on the 2p machines like all day. I won 2 key rings, and it was like
amazing.
It was like I'd won like the lottery. I was like, oh my god, I've won 2 key rings.
I won a packet of refreshers in Runswick Bay recently and literally thought I'd won the lottery. I was actually standing in queue kind of going, wow, look what I've won.
Yeah,
I got 6 tickets.
I know. We were the same. We added all our tickets together and we ended up I think we had like 200 and something. We got a lot of we were there all day. I mean, it was raining, so we were there all day. And we all the kids like decided what they wanted to get, because we had 240 something tickets. They got a set. We were like, well, let's get something that we can all do. So we got like a dominoes set to play dominoes, because we had to go back into our hut when it was obviously raining, so we needed something indoorsy. And then they got loads of sweets and shared it between them. But yeah, they absolutely loved it, but I did as well. I felt like my dad was walking around the arcade just with Sunny in the pram. I completely abandoned him. I was just on the 2p machine like yeah,
yeah,
all
yeah.
day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get quite obsessed.
Yeah.
And then at number one was fish and chips, obviously. Oh, yeah. I mean, I might have fish and chips today. 30% of people, that's their favourite holiday memory. Well, listen, it's been amazing talking about holiday memories. Go and stay at our host seasons.
Yes,
I mean, why not 100%. This summer?
They've got a sale on as well at the moment. They've got
oh, well,
a sale on,
I mean,
so
you, can't, you can't do better. I Go know. And send postcards, ride a donkey, yes. build a sandcastle, and yeah. eat fish and chips till you're really fat.
Absolutely.
This summer. It's been amazing to have you on Soap in the Box. Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been lovely to chat.
And we can't wait to see what you're up to next.
Oh,
watch this space.
I know.
Yes.
Exciting.
All right. Well, take care.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much to Lucy Fallon for joining me. And we can't wait for her return. Apparently, she is back on our screens on ITV in Coronation Street after Christmas. We cannot wait for that. I will be back later this week with another Pop from the Box special. One of Blazing Squad joins me. Very exciting. I'll be back next Monday with a very special guest on Soap from the Box. Enjoy your week. And remember, there are over 80 episodes of Soap from the Box and Pop from the Box to listen to right now, wherever you download your podcast. So get a cup of tea, get some cake, sit back and enjoy.